you know, just starting, I say starting, continuing the work that God is doing in your life, I am confident, there's no doubt in my mind, that he's going to bring that to completion with your life. And I don't think, there's no doubt in my mind, that you will live a wasted life from what I see, just as you following God, seeking after God, and just keeping that flame burning. So Ernie is going to share with us this morning. He was here somewhere. There he is. Come on forward, Ernie, and I'll have a prayer for you and see what God has. I'm excited about what you're going to share, Ernie, so I want to bless you. Father in heaven, thank you this morning that you're so good. And Father, we bless you. Thank you that you're so concerned about each one of us. You love us. You care for us. You deeply care for us. And Father, I know this morning that you have something you want to share to each one of us. Father, we're all on different journeys, and I know that in your sovereignty, by your Holy Spirit, you can speak to us. And so I pray that Ernie would be a spokesperson for what's on your heart to each one of us. So I pray for anointing. I pray for your Holy Spirit to empower him to speak words of truth and life, and that this morning would just be a morning that would honor you. So thank you for what you're doing. Father, I'm grateful for who you are, and I bless you, Father. I'm excited. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you, Ernie.
Amen. Welcome to this part of the service. Good to see everybody here. A lot of strange faces, but I just want to welcome you. Some familiar faces, too. Jeff and your family and Manuel and your family. I just want to honor you guys. It feels to me like one of you should be up here talking. You are, in my opinion, you're ahead of the journey, and you've experienced more of life than most of us in here, and so I just want to honor you for that this morning and your walk with the Lord. So, but on behalf of, you know, Dave and Amanda here, I just want to welcome you too, and excited about where their journey is going in life and what God has for them in the future. So I know that a lot of you are here for, you know, on for their sake, and we just want to welcome you. I just want to talk this morning about a man who had a calling on his life. And I want each of us to understand this morning that you have a call on your life. Whether that's a collective call as a body, which I believe that is part of it. But as individuals, we have a call on our life as well. And so if you don't know that, there's one way to find that out. That's to seek after it. If you don't know it, I would encourage you to seek after it, because it's not a lack on God's part that you're not active in the calling that he has for your life. It's on your part. And so I do just want to open it up here. Thank you, Matt and Sari, for leading us in worship. That's such an important part of our worship service, and just inviting the Holy Spirit, creating an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can come in and just minister to each one of us individually. And so my prayer is that what I share this morning, that there might be something in your life that you can, there might be a part of your life that it touches. And I think that's the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit, is he knows each one of our journey, where we're at in life, and there could be just one thing that he pokes at this morning and says, hey, take notice here, or hey, this is for you. And it could be something totally different. It will be something totally different for each one. But I just want to open it up. Maybe there's somebody here that just came this morning with just a burning on your heart to share something. God's just doing something fresh and real in your life. You're just burning to share it. Or maybe there's a word that the Lord has given you, and you just feel a need to share that. So I'm going to open it up. If there's anybody here that just senses God wants you to say something, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Okay.
Steadfast and commitment is just spinning through my mind all morning. I have no idea why.
Steadfast and commitment. Anybody have any revelation on what that is? What that's supposed to... Is that talking to any individual here? Steadfast, commitment? Okay, so we're going to turn to the book of Nehemiah this morning. Now, Nehemiah was a man that was taken. Okay, so there's a good chance that Nehemiah was born in captivity. So he was in the time, he lived in the time when the Babylonians had taken Israel captive, and so when at the time that this is happening, he was the cupbearer for the king, for a king, Artaxerxes, I think, Artaxerxes. So leading up to this point, or prior to this, I don't know, they've been in captivity for quite a while leading up to this time. And so there's a good chance that he was born in captivity. So he may never have seen Jerusalem. He may never have seen the original state of Jerusalem before it was destroyed, but here's what we do know about Nehemiah. I just want to talk a little bit about this, but while I'm talking about Nehemiah, this is not just the story of Nehemiah. I want you to take this personally and apply some of this to your own life, okay? This isn't God doesn't just give us scripture to give us stories. He gives us scripture with a purpose behind it, and when there's a character that the Bible talks about, I think it's something we can take away from. We can take away lessons from for ourselves, okay? It's not just a story. It's something that we can learn from. And that's my goal here this morning, is that you would learn something, okay? Learn something through the story of Nehemiah. It's not just about Nehemiah here this morning. So Nehemiah finds himself in a pretty high position in the kingdom here, king of Persia, and he was a cupbearer. Now, those of you who... we're not familiar with this, okay? We're not familiar with this, you know, serving in a kingdom and what all goes on behind the scenes of this, but being a cupbearer was a pretty big deal. In fact, it was one of the highest positions that you could get, and here's why, okay? So you know that within different kingdoms, there's wars going on, there's battles, there's a fight for land, there's a fight for people, there's all this stuff going on, but... So there's different tactics that different kingdoms take to take other kingdoms down, or kings down, okay? So one of them could be through poison. They could poison your drink. They could poison your food. They could, you know, there's different ways. If you have an insider who's a traitor, he could come in, he could poison the king's drink. That'd be the end of the king, right? So the cupbearer here was supposed to, he served wine, okay? That was kind of his primary you know, we wouldn't say a bartender, maybe a barista, okay? That might relate to us more. But. So he's serving this to the king, and probably his guests or his cabinet as well. And so his job was to make sure that everything that the king got, that everything that was set in front of him was taken care of. And so he was serve the king, you know, face to face. Knew him on a personal level. So one of the things that stood out to me here in the story of Nehemiah was his honor and his humility. Like, even though he was in captivity, he still gave honor to the people that he was serving. Let's just turn to the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter, and I'm going to read some of this. So verse 1 says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem." Now, there's two things going on here, I believe. So, when the children of Israel were initially taken captive, it kind of sounds like there may have been some that escaped. Okay, so in the process of taking all these people to Babylon, some of them escaped and stayed behind. The other thing that's going on here is a little while before this, the king had released about, from what I read, about 1,500 people to go back into Jerusalem. He had released about 1,500, and as I understand it, Ezra was the one who led that. So Ezra, even though Ezra kind of, he was on the forefront of Nehemiah coming into Jerusalem. So you had the ones who were stayed back from captivity, and you also had the 1,500 that were released into Jerusalem. So that's what he's talking about here. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now here's one thing that kind of stood out to me. So remember I said that Nehemiah, good chance he was born in Babylon. He never saw Jerusalem, but here's what stood out to me. He still cared about Jerusalem. He still cared what happened. And so when he got this report that they were in great distress and reproach. So just think about that word reproach for a little bit. So if you have a people and they were taken captive, there's some that stayed behind, there's some that came in, and they were just kind of made fun of by surrounding people. And there was the Amorites, there was a couple others here that were surrounding that area, that were active in that area. And so they were the children of Israel, or Jerusalem was a reproach, and the people there were in great distress. So Nehemiah heard this from a distance, and when he heard it, he sat down and wept and mourned for many days. Verse 5, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, night and day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you are cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So here you have the prayer of Nehemiah, and he's just interceding for his people. I love this because I think it was something that the Lord put in his heart. And this is something that he took seriously. You don't have someone who hears something and the people or his homeland is in distress, and you don't hear something that's not pretty deep in his heart, fasting and mourning for many days and praying before the God of heaven. So he saw this happening, and he was distressed about it. Verse 2, or chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I have never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you're not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. And so I became dreadfully afraid. Now here's what I understand about people who serve the king is they were never supposed to be sad. They were never supposed to have a sorrowful countenance. And that's exactly what Nehemiah had here. So here again, you have this rapport between the king and Nehemiah. And it's obvious that they knew each other pretty good. They had a relationship. And so he thought about this, and he's like, he became dreadfully afraid. What's the king going to do? So this is what he said. May the king live forever. Respect and honor. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king and your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah and to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. I'm not going to read all that, but here's what really stood out to me here. So, while this was heavy on his heart, and while it became so heavy that it was obvious in front of the king, he had a burden for it. So, when I look at how does this apply to my life? Can I get application from this for my life? And I think about the church across this country, and whether it's your local church, whether it's a body of churches that come together, whether it's the American church as a whole, I don't know. It could be anything. But here's the thing. Nehemiah saw this at a distance, the Jerusalem. It was his hometown, his home city. He saw it was in disrepair. He saw it was in reproach, and the people were in great distress. So when I look at the church of today, I believe there's people that are called to wake up the church. We're not necessarily living in a time when the church is dominating in our country today. And I'm talking specifically in our country. I know some of you have global ministries, you're involved across the globe, but I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ here in America today. It's in disrepair. It's the people are in great distress. And I'm talking about people in our land, okay? And I think it comes back to the church. And the people of God are held in reproach. We're being made fun of from our enemies, from a distance. And I think that God is going to put his finger on people, and he's going to say, I want you to go back, or I want you to get involved somewhere. I want you to make a difference. Whether it's in your hometown or whether it's across your city or across his land, you're going to be called to make a difference. This was one man. This was the call of one man. And if you think your life doesn't really make a difference or you don't really matter, you better guess again. God is going to raise up people. He's going to raise up men who are willing to stand up for truth and for what's right no matter what happens. Nehemiah was willing to, in the face of the king, in the face of death. He could have been put to death for being sorrowful around the king. He could have been. What the king said went. What the king said happened. Okay? Now, this story was different. He found favor in the eyes of the king, and the king really helped him out. But I want us to think of that. Nehemiah was one man with a call on his life. Think about that. So as I see in Nehemiah's relationship here, he gave honor, he gave respect. That was in relating to authority, he gave honor and respect. I think that's huge. The other thing is humility was very obvious in his life. Just look at the prayer that he prayed. It wasn't all about himself. It was about his people. Like, he was willing to intercede for his people. It reminds me of Daniel too. Daniel was willing to confess the sins of his people. He was willing to take it further. He looked beyond himself. Life was more than just about himself. Okay, he saw it bigger than just himself. And so he was crying out for his people. The other thing I see with Nehemiah, in his position that he had here, he was trustworthy. Obviously, he was trustworthy, or he wouldn't have had that position. He was dependable. God gave him a vision, and then God gave him a burden to move forward with that vision. And then he went to prayer, and that's where stuff started to happen. Isn't that beautiful? Like, I think it's still true today. I don't think we see great movements or great revival or great, you know, things happening today without people getting involved, without people praying. It takes people. It takes people to get involved. You can challenge me on this, but have you ever seen a movement that God just moved in and did things without using people? And I think, you know, I think most of the time, God works through people. Now, does he work through acts of nature? Sure. But I still think there's people behind it somewhere. God chooses to work through people. All right, so as Nehemiah became further invested in this project, he asked for letters to get through to Jerusalem. He had to cross through some other territory. He asked for letters to go through and then also to get materials for it. The king gave him everything he asked for. I love it because if Nehemiah would have been some kind of a, I don't know, if he just wouldn't have served well, if he wouldn't have been trustworthy, if he wouldn't have given honor, if he wouldn't have been a man of humility, I don't think he would have got any of that stuff. But he got all of that. He got permission. He got the letters. He got the materials. King gave him whatever he wanted, and he set off for Jerusalem. The king wanted to know a specific time that he was going to be there, and he gave him 12 years. He's going to be there 12 years. So we'll see that later on here. All right. So Nehemiah, being in this respected position, serving the king day in, day out. Remember I said it was probably a very elite position, one of the highest maybe, because you were working right next to the king, had to be dependable, had to be trustworthy, and he gave that up to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I guarantee this was not glamorous. This was not a glamorous position that he took on. It was not a popular thing at all. We'll see that later on in this story. When he took off, when he got what he needed from the king, and he came into Jerusalem, I want you to see what he saw here. And I'm going to start in verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem, and it was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night, and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates were burned with fire. Then I went to the fountain gate to the king's pool, and there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests and nobles, and the officials, and the others who did the work. Now this is what he said to them. Here's where his negotiating skills come in. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste. And its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. So Nehemiah brought these people together, had a vision, portrayed the vision to them, and set that work in motion. And immediately, what happened? Immediately, when they made that decision, so he came in, shared the vision, and they agreed upon it, and immediately, they had some enemies rise up. Okay, so Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonite, they heard of it, and they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king?" And so they started to make fun of him. So I want you to notice, this isn't the first time, by the way. This isn't the first time this happens. This happens repeatedly while they're building this wall. But I want you to notice that his response to his enemies. We saw how you related to authority. And I think that gave him the authority, or he gave him the ability to work in other areas as well. And so his response to his enemies is one of those. Okay, so moving on to chapter 4. So chapter 3 is a lot of just assigning things to different people, and they set to work. They were going to get this done. Verse 4 again. So this is the second time. But so it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Okay, so making fun of them didn't work, so now you get angry. Okay, so now he's faced with these angry men, and what they decided to do. Okay, verse 3 again, he says, they start making fun of him. Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. So they're making fun of it. Okay? Verse 6, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So they were working on this thing, and now they're continuing to get hammered with the tactics of the enemy. Verse 7, it happens again.
when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired to come together. They conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, okay, so now we have these people that are making fun of them, they're angry at them, and now they're coming together to attack them. And so now we see what happens to the people is the strength of the laborers is failing. And there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build a wall. Did you ever get to that point in life where you look around you and things are so bad that it's like, where do I even start? And it just becomes discouraging. And you just feel like, what difference am I even making? What's the point? What difference am I making? Here's what their adversaries said. They will neither know nor see anything till we come into the midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. And so this is where they positioned people to guard the workers so that these people coming against them couldn't penetrate the people that are building the wall. So they set up an army, and later on we see that they took it a step further, and they were building with one hand and had a sword in the other hand. How inefficient is that? Try building something in one hand and you're ready to fight with the other hand. And also the mental energy that takes. Like you're having to watch your back, you're having to be ready to fight, you're having to think about building. There's a lot going on here. So we had anger, and we had discouragement, we had fear. They're afraid of these enemies, and then they just tried different tactics. And one of the last ones was they got a prophet from within, and what I call a lying prophet, to talk to Nehemiah and try to distract him. Hey, won't you come down here? Come on, let's meet. Let's go into the temple. And I don't think Nehemiah was allowed in there, by the way, and for certain reasons. But if he'd have gone in there, it would have probably foiled the whole thing. And so they got this prophet to come in. Hey, come on, let's talk. Let's go into the temple here. You might get killed out here. I think that was one of the words they used. Nehemiah was like, no way, I'm not going to do it. Didn't get distracted. So they gave all kinds of, just came against them with all kinds of things here. Nehemiah was no way. We have a mission. We have a purpose. We're not being distracted by the tactics of the enemy. We're going to complete our job. We're going to complete the vision that God gave us. We all face that. Every one of us faces that in life, and they're different for each one of us. But you have enemies. You have people. You have an enemy who came to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to do that to your life. He wants to do that to your family. He wants to do that to your church. He wants to do it to the nation. Came to kill, steal, and destroy. And how Nehemiah responded here to each one of these tactics is awesome. I love it. He just stood up to them. He just, if they threatened to kill, he set an army up. If they threatened to ridicule, he just kept his, they prayed to God, and they just kept on doing their job. If it was discouragement, he came alongside and encouraged the people. So I love his response to his enemies. How much different do you think this was than serving the king? Here he was in a wasted land, a place that was distressed, the people were distressed, and they were held in reproach. He left the king's palace to come back to build Jerusalem. What God has called you to do most likely is not going to be that glamorous. And maybe sometimes you think you have it pretty good, you're in a comfortable spot in life, and you don't want to, that's just kind of where you want to hang out. And God pokes you somewhere, just nudges you and say, hey, I want you to move into this area. And it's something totally different. It's out of your comfort zone. It's something you're not familiar with. But yet God's given you the vision, the burden for it, and he's given you the calling. And so what are you doing with that? Are you going to say, I'm comfortable here in this palace. I just want to stay here. I just want to keep serving the king where I'm at. Or are you going to move in response to the vision and the burden that God gave you? What I see in Nehemiah rebuilding the wall here. The wall was rebuilt in 52 days. 52 days. I don't know. Somebody had to have some administrative skills here to make that happen in 52 days. And remember earlier the mind thing going on with their enemies? Building with one hand, sword in the other hand. I love it. But after they were rebuilt the wall, chapter 6, verse 16 says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things that they were disheartened. They were very disheartened, it says, in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. This is beautiful. And see, when the people of God, when the church is in disrepair, they're in distress, and they're being held in reproach, who's ultimately does not get the glory? And it's God. So, with Nehemiah here, do you think he cared if he got the honor for this? Do you think he cared if he got the glory for coming back and rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, for organizing all this, for leaving? Do you think anybody recognized him for leaving the palace in Babylon and coming into this forlorn city to rebuild it? You think anybody gave him recognition for that? Like, we're just grateful that you came. You left the king's palace, all the goodies there, you know, the comfortable lifestyle. You left that to come. I don't think anybody thought about that. I don't think they recognized that. That's just my opinion. But he did it anyway. And I think that shows his humility. And so, in your life, if you're called to something, where do you want the glory to go? Are you careful about who gets the glory? And I think sometimes we can really get caught up in that. If we leave a comfortable lifestyle, we have a vision, we have a burden, we move into it, and then we kind of want to suck that glory to, or we got to draw that glory to ourselves. Maybe you don't struggle with that, but I've been there. And I think God wants, like, God is the one who's ultimately getting glory. And so if the Church of Jesus Christ wakes up and we no longer are the reproach, who do you think is going to get the glory? And I think it's God who ultimately is not getting the glory and who gets the glory when things like this happen. We saw that with the children of Israel. When they came out of the wilderness there and were crossing the Jordan, how the people's hearts, the people in these countries that they were coming to, their hearts melted with fear because of what they heard that God was doing. I just think it's about making God look great. And I just think that's what our lives need to be about, is making God look great wherever we go. And to see Nehemiah's example here of him getting the vision, him getting the burden, his obedience to go, his humility, and then when the work is done or when the wall is rebuilt, that now their enemies, now they're the ones that are turning tail. And they're realizing that there's something going on here. And they recognize that it was more than just the people and that it was a move of God. When they saw these things, when all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Ah, I love it. I love it. And I think that's where God wants us to be. As a people of God, I don't think we should be going through life with and bringing reproach to the name of Christ by our lack of obedience, by our lack of humility, by our lack of giving honor to where honor is due. I think God wants us to rise up and be the men and the women that he has called us to be. And we need to recognize who we are in Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. And who's ultimately going to get the glory? When we rise up and we take the vision that God has given us, we take that seriously, and we walk that out, who is ultimately going to get the glory? And it's God. So do you want to make God's name great? Or are you okay with God's name being held in reproach? And I think it's a question we have to ask as we look around us. We're one person. You're one person. I'm one person. But guess what? We can make a difference. We can make a difference. And when you have people that come together, when you have individuals who have that call in their life come together, I believe the church becomes an unstoppable force. And that's who God has designed us to be. And it's not about us. It's about Him. It's not because of us. It's because of Him. And God chooses to work through us and to use us for His glory. I love it. So God bless you. I just want to encourage you to walk in your calling. And again, if you don't know your calling, God does have a purpose for you. God didn't just put you on this earth for anyhow, to fill up space, to take up time. He put you here with a purpose and with a call on your life, individually, and then also collectively, I do believe. So God bless you as you pursue that and as you walk in the calling that God has for your life.
And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Ernie, for that. And just sharing the story of Nehemiah and the life of Nehemiah and the obedience and the importance of you as one person. Whether you're husband or wife, parents, single, it doesn't matter who you are. We all have a separate DNA that God made us unique and special for a purpose, and you can make a difference as an individual, as a family unit, as a church unit, and as a single, no matter where you are. So thank you for that, Ernie, and just taking the story of Nehemiah and looking at his life and how he was obedient. Even when the things got tough, he was still obedient. He still had the courage and was courageous to build the walls, and God did amazing things. And God blesses obedience time and time and time again. And so I think obedience was one of the key things for Nehemiah in the beginning when he saw that was, you know what, I'm in. Obedience, and I'm going to use another word, this word availability. Nehemiah was, you know what, God, I'm in. You show me something. You can use me. You can. And that's what I see a blessing in just this whole morning as well. And specifically Dave and just seeing the calling that God has placed in your life and seeing this, those two things, obedience and availability, say, you know what, God, I'm in. I'll be used by you. I will. And so no matter where you're at in life, God knows where you're at. And I know if we're obedient, we're available, God will reveal things. Because He blesses obedience. He won't miss you. If you're totally surrendered and say, God, what do you have me to do? And you're serious, God will find you. And God will speak to you. I think some of the reason is we have this tendency, or I think it is reality for some people, to where they don't hear God speaking. They ask God to speak, but yet they don't hear God speaking. And you may disagree with this. This is my opinion. But I think if you're in a position to where you're not going to obey no matter what God says, and He knows it, I think it hinders Him speaking to you. My opinion. But anyway, so I am super excited about this morning. And I'm grateful to our Heavenly Father, too, that each one of us have a calling. Each one of us can be used for His glory. And we don't have to just be wanderers on this earth and, you know, live a life that is not meaningful, but we can live lives that have meaning. We can live lives that have purpose. We can live while we have life, right? Absolutely. And so I'm grateful for that. And it's an honor to have you here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. And Dave and Amanda, with the ordination, Dave is going to share his testimony. So Dave, I'm just going to have you come up now and just share God's journey and just your testimony, and then we'll go from here. But it is an honor to be here and to experience this, and I know a lot of family and friends are here on behalf of Dave and Amanda, so thank you for coming. So Dave, if you want to come up and just share.
I'm going to have my wife join me because we're in this together. So yeah, thank you all to friends and family for joining us this morning. It's a real blessing. Real touching. So I really appreciate it. So, trying to think where to start, but how deep I want to go. Many years ago at charity when I was younger, I was sitting in a message Aaron Hurst was preaching, and Aaron Hurst was sharing his testimony about how God led him to the ministry, and how it was like his greatest fear was public speaking, and that God would someday use him in that way. And as I was sitting there, listening, I felt that God was telling me that someday he was going to use me in that way. I never really forgot about that, but I never really hung on to it. I just kind of thought, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And throughout life, every so often, that would come back to mind again. From there, I got involved in the LCM children's ministry. My dad was heavily involved in the LCM. Started as a teacher, just working with the kids. Slowly, that was my calling, was children, youth, city. And I was there almost 15 years. Went from, a teacher, regular teacher, to a route leader. Just sharing all this, kind of showing my journey, where how God got me here today. And my life was around working with children, serving the children, serving the youth. That's where I got to know my wife the best, working with her together in a route. After we were married, our life was still surrounded by ministry. That was our life, was ministry, was working with youth, working with kids. Up until about 2 years ago, we moved out to the country. We were involved at that time in Saturday Night Live, which we really enjoyed that. Our purpose at that time was serving the youth, serving the city, serving the LCM kids. But we felt like God was calling us elsewhere at that moment. So we moved out to the country. We stopped going in the city ministry. At that time, we were kind of somewhat lost our purpose, per se. That's all we really knew was city ministry. That's all we really did. So for a while, we didn't really know where God wanted us, what he wanted us to do. So we prayed about it. We asked God, where do you want us from here? What do you want us to do? And we've all felt God saying, focus on the church.
There were very few times in my life that I said never. And one of those things when I was growing up was I never wanted to marry a preacher. Never wanted to marry someone who was going to be in the leadership position in church. Having grown up in a preacher's household, you know, with my parents, I was just like, no, I don't want that. I just don't want it. It wasn't a bad experience. It just sounds like it was, I don't want the responsibility, the drama, the, you know, the things that all come with that. And then this year when church said they want to ordain a deacon, I was like, oh, no, God's going to make me give this up. And so I shared it with Dave, and I was like, because Dave said he thinks, he asked me about it, and Dave's like, I think this is what God is going to want us to do. And I was like, and then I told him about this never thing that I had said, and I just said, no, I was like, I don't want to go there. But I knew in my heart that this is the direction the Lord is leading us, and I repented of, you know, my never that I said. And I am so honored and thrilled to be here this morning with standing beside Dave. And I'm just, the words that Ernie was sharing this morning about Nehemiah, humbled and honored. That is so expresses how I feel right now. Just amazed with all the friends and family in our church family. We are humbled to be here, and yet we are honored. And we are so excited to take this position and to serve you all as our church family.
As you can see, she's my spokeswoman. Yeah, we are very humbled and honored to be here. It's been a very blessing, our journey. So like I was saying, when we started focusing on the church, it was amazing how God turned our hearts. We felt fulfilled. And like Linda said, my wife said, when the church said they wanted to ordain a deacon, right away I knew that was going to be me. So yeah, I'm blessed and humbled and honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave and Amanda, for sharing that. And they touched on it just a little bit. As a church, it was the beginning of the year when we started, you know, talking about the need for a deacon, and then we started, we brought it up at men's meeting, and it was just amazing, and it's truly a blessing. I say it's true, it is a blessing to have Dave and Amanda recognize the call, and to take the courage and say, you know what, God is calling me here to this position, and therefore, that is leading us here today for this ordination. Of us recognizing a need, something, a position we want to fill at church, and simply having a guy say, you know what, I heard a call from God, and I'm in. So thank you, Dave and Amanda, for that, and I'm excited, and it's an honor to have you guys as part of our church. And just again, the obedience, the hearing from God, first of all, and then the obedience, and even the never thing. I didn't know that, Amanda. But I have seen that numerous times where somebody said never, and God asks them to do that never. And I think it just comes back to how committed are you, you know, to our Heavenly Father. And so I'm super excited about that, because I think God's going to bless your obedience, and God's going to bless your repentance of never, and use it in amazing ways. So I'm excited. God is so good. God is so good, and so it's an honor to be here. So we're going to get right into the to the ordination process and what we're going to do here. I have four questions for Dave, and Amanda can come up as well. And then I will give the charge, and then after the charge, we're going to have a prayer of blessing on Dave and Amanda with the laying on hands. In the scripture, when there was ordaining, there was laying on hands. At least a lot of times there was laying on hands. So we're going to do that. Now, I would love to open it up to everybody for the laying on hands, but we're just going to have our leadership team and Jeff and Emmanuel. I will invite you guys to come and partake or help with that as well. So Dave and Amanda, if you want to come forward, I just have some questions for you. In this, and again, Dave, I just want to bless you for your obedience. And I know as a pastor, I'm super excited and honored to join and partner with you. And just your passion for the church. And you have obviously been doing it as well. Us as a church can testify to this. They've been doing some of this, or they have been doing it, already, even without having this position or this entitlement of position. You've been taking some of the deacon role this year. We've seen it very plainly. So I want to thank you for that and bless you for what you've already been doing with that. Dave, do you accept this calling of becoming a deacon at Way of Jesus Fellowship?
I do.
Dave, do you accept the responsibility of becoming a deacon at Way of Jesus Fellowship?
I do.
Dave, do you commit to being as faithful and responsible as you know how to fulfilling this calling?
I do.
Dave, do you commit to serving as a deacon at Way of Jesus Fellowship until the Lord chooses to call you somewhere else?
I do.
Okay, bless you. And Amanda, are you willing to support Dave in being the deacon's wife?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. That is great. So Dave, with these commitments, Dave and Amanda, with these commitments that you just said before God and your family and friends and witnesses, I as a pastor of Way of Jesus Fellowship give you the charge of becoming an ordained deacon at Way of Jesus Fellowship. So I bless you and honor you, and I want to pray right now, and then we'll go from there. Father in heaven, you heard the commitments that Dave and Amanda made in fulfilling this role as a deacon. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for their obedience. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for what they're pouring into the church as well and the kingdom of God. Father, I'm so grateful. And so I speak a blessing on the commitments that they made in serving in this role. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless them, you would protect them, you would empower them, you would strengthen them, Father, that they could do it all for your honor and for your glory. So, Lord, I'm grateful for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. David, Amanda, I'm going to give you one more. In Joshua chapter 1 is just some scripture I want to give you as a charge here is Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail you, Dave. And Amanda, I will not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's in the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. So I see that charge given to Joshua, and so I want to bless you with that as well, to be strong, very courageous, stay in the Word of God, and several times in here, be strong and very courageous. And obviously, we heard that story of Nehemiah as well, of how courageous and strong he was. So thank you for that. Steve Martin, there's a plaque down there in the, I forgot to bring it front. Can you find it? Actually, I think, well, let me get it. I apologize. I forgot to bring it up. Somewhere back here. All right. My apologies. I was going to bring it up. This is just a certificate of your ordination, Dave, that I want to give you as a plaque, as a reminder, and then also just the official part of it. So bless you, Dave and Amanda. We're going to have the laying on of hands and just a blessing. So I'm going to ask the Way of Jesus, the leadership team, to come forward, and also Emmanuel and Jeff to join. Do you want chairs or do you want to kneel? So we just want to have a laying on of hands blessing for them as they take this position. And, certainly wives can come along as well if you want. You don't have to, but you're more than welcome to. So I want you to speak in the mic so everyone can hear. So if you have a word for Dave and Amanda or something, why certainly go ahead and do that. But we do want to have, I'm going to say when you're praying for them, do a laying on of hands because I think there is power in that. So who's going to start?
In Hebrews 13, it says, let your walk of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid what man will do to me. May these words give you courage and strength. In due season, you will need them.
If you don't have a word, just a prayer blessing as well. It doesn't have to be a word.
I just want to bless you, Dave and Amanda, for the work that you have been pouring, and the prayers and the selfless giving that you've been pouring into our church. It really does make an impact, and I just want to bless the calling of God on your life, and it's been really cool to see your journey the past year, and we just want to be a blessing and a support, and welcome to the team.
Yeah, I want to echo that, and Dave and Amanda, your willingness to serve without anybody really appointing you or outside of God. Obviously, God was nudging you, and you were willing to just step in and fill that position. And I think that was so beautiful. And I just know your hearts, and I know that you will continue to pour into the church and walk where God wants you to walk. So I just want to pray a blessing over you. Lord Jesus, I just pray that your hand of blessing upon Dave and Amanda. I thank you for the journey that they've been on. and that you brought them to this point. And Lord, we don't know what the future looks like or what's ahead, but we just know that when you call us to something and we walk in it in obedience and in humility, that you are going to bless us and you're going to honor us in ways that we have no idea. And so I want to release the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives. And I pray, Father, that you would just continue to use them in ways to bless people, to bring courage, to speak courage into people's lives, to serve and to give whatever capacity that you have for them in this position. I bless them in Jesus' name.
I want to speak some words in Joshua 6:24-26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. And Father, I thank you for Dave and Amanda as they go from here. I want to speak a blessing of life, a blessing of the abundant life that is talked about in John, where the rivers of living water flow out of our bellies. And I will pray a blessing upon them wherever they go. It be a river of life that people can Amen. Feed and can grow and can flourish. As they're going forth, can be life-giving, can be upbuilding, can be exhorting, can be instructing, can give direction. I will speak and release that blessing upon you as a couple as you go forth.
One of the verses I think about all the time as a guiding for my life, I want to pass on to others and to you, Dave and Amanda, is in Luke 9. Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. He that will save his life will lose it, and he that will lose his life for my sake will save it. Father, I want to thank you for Dave and Amanda. I pray a prayer of selflessness over their lives. And it is, that's what you want. And when we become selfless, you fill us full and overflowing with love and joy in serving you and your people, Lord God. I thank you for these promises you give to us, Father, and pray a blessing upon them as they serve you, Lord. Help them to not to be weary in well-doing, Lord Amen. God, but to empower them with strength, Father, and the joy that only comes from you. Bless them, Father, I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for this glorious occasion we have this morning. Father, this is an exciting time in David and Amanda's life, and it's an exciting time in our church's life, Father, just to recognize their gifting, their calling that you've given them, that they've been walking in, to empower them to walk in it with even greater intention, Father. Amen. Thank you for this time. I ask your blessing upon them. May the excitement continue in their lives throughout from this point on, brother, through Christ.
I am convinced, as Ernie was speaking this morning, that most people don't reach their destiny because they're not willing to take the next step. Usually it looks too hard, too out of control, too unsafe, and they don't go where they want to go. And you guys are taking that step. And I bless you. In Jesus' name, as a couple, I bless you. I speak life into you. And I call forth for the power and authority of Christ to rise up inside of you and go with you. I ask for that favor that follows you when you make decisions and when you pray, that God's favor would flow forward from that. I ask his presence goes with you wherever you go. Father, I ask your anointing. I call that giftings, and I call the calling that's in Dave and Amanda to rise up, to stand up, and make a way for itself in Jesus' name. We bless you. We support you. We stand with you in Jesus' name.
And I want to speak a blessing into your family, that as you go as a family, that this would be a beautiful experience for your family as they go. There's times that we struggle as leaders. But Lord, I am asking that each one of the children, as they reflect upon this journey of their childhood, that it could be a journey of blessing, a journey of growth, and a journey of beauty, just a beautiful part of being poured out for your kingdom, and that it will be a blessing to their life.
Father, thank you for this opportunity, and Lord, just for this service is just amazing. Lord, I want to thank you for Dave and Amanda, and I speak a blessing into their lives as well, them and their family, as was mentioned, and I just see them being so useful and so valuable in the kingdom of God for your glory, and so I pray that you would strengthen them, you would empower them, you would give them wisdom, you would give them insight. And Father, as they keep seeking you, you would keep guiding them and giving them direction. And Father, thank you for your promises that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And that comes from someone who knows what it's like to be forsaken, but your promises are that that doesn't happen to us. So thank you for your promises. And I just speak a blessing. I speak life and empowerment and strength onto them as they go from here. For your glory. So we're grateful, Father, for this opportunity. And we bless you and say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Dave and Amanda, I bless you and welcome. And as a family as well, each one of your children, each one of you are so special. I like the thing, too, as well, of you being parents and you modeling obedience to what God is calling you to, I think is very powerful. So bless you. All right, you guys can all sit down. I'll take him. Matt, I'm springing this on you, but if you want to have just a closing song in a couple minutes, think about it, and then you can maybe just come up. I think it'd be good to wrap it up here. But we are going to have fellowship meal, so ladies, we're going to go right from here to fellowship meal. So if you need some food, you have to go prepare your food. Why go and do what is necessary. But we're going to lift the offering this morning. And the offering, it's going to be a little different, I think, because our seating arrangement is different. But the offering is for the building fund this morning. So if you want, we'll have a word of prayer for that. And then we'll do that. And then we'll have a couple other announcements. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. And Lord, we're grateful again just for who you are. This is just such a privilege to be a son and a daughter of our Heavenly Father. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for your redemption. We're grateful for your blood. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit. And there's so many things to be thankful for this morning. We're also grateful for this building. Father, thank you for this building as a church. And so this morning, as we give to the building fund, I speak a blessing on the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, is there, as far as announcements, Marcus, is there worship night tonight? 6:30. Okay, tonight is the youth worship night here at 6:30. So everyone is invited for that as well. You have something, Mike? Okay, all right, we'll get to that just in a little bit. I am going to ask for a volunteer right now. Krista has been cleaning the church for a while, especially after when school starts, which school training starts tomorrow at 9:00. They're having teacher training. But obviously, we come in as a church, we make a mess, we make it dirty, and we want to have it cleaned by 8:30 tomorrow morning, or typically 8:30 when school starts on a Monday morning. And Sari Fisher has consented to do that, so she's going to be doing that, but she can't tomorrow morning. So if there's a lady that wants to volunteer to come in, it has to be after tonight because the youth are going to be in here tonight. So either you do it late tonight or tomorrow morning and have it finished by 9:00. You want to do it? Okay. Thank you, Sharonda. So bless you. And Krista, thank you for doing it for last, I don't know how long you did it, last school year for sure. Was it 2 years maybe? So bless you for that. And but let's still, just because there's a cleaner doesn't say you let your trash on the floor, okay? We still all do our job and pick up after yourself and your family and do what we can. Okay, Mike, what for announcements do you have for the food? Okay, everyone got that? So everyone is invited to stay for the fellowship meal. So thank you for being here, and please join us if you want. But it will make it a little more difficult in there because we're full. We will have some tables set up in here, but if you have children and stuff and you want to go outside, you're more than welcome to do that. Actually, some people are going to have to sit outside just because of our space limitations in the building here. So, thank you for coming, and I want to bless each one of you, and I honor you for being part of this service, even on behalf of Dave and Amanda. It was just great having you here and experiencing this, and again, just a blessing on Dave and Amanda. I'm super excited. So, we're going to have a prayer for the food, and then we are going to set up, we probably want to set up some tables in here, right? So what I'm going to say is as soon as you're dismissed, actually, if you have children, it would probably be best to take them outside right away. But we'll just take these chairs in here and maybe put them against the walls, just upright, and then we'll set up some tables and then use some of these same chairs for the tables. But if you have children, I would say just take them outside, let them play in the playground. It's going to be better out there. All right. Thank you again for coming. We'll have a word of prayer for the food. Food line is ready. You can just feel free to go through. I'm going to say visitors maybe go first. I know a lot of visitors here, a lot of Dave and Amanda's family. So thank you for coming, but please go through the food line first. All right, Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Again, we're so grateful, and we want to bless you and honor you. Thank you for the food we're about to eat. I speak a blessing on the food, and as we go from here, that we could all honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt, did you have something just to wrap up? Just to try to kind of transition here, we'll close with a song, and then after the song, why you're dismissed.
All that you're going to do, for all that you promised and all that you are, is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you, and I thank you, thank you, Lord. Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. And I thank you.